Welcome everyone to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne and I'm so happy you all are here. Those of you who are here in person or on the phone or watching the replay in our Facebook group. Before we dive in, before I say anything else, I want to bring us into a few moments together in stillness. So if you are able to just sit back and allow your eyes to close. And whatever's been going on in your day, whatever's been going on in the surface of your mind, giving your mind permission to go deeper, to drop beneath that surface level chatter. Your mind knows where to go. It wants to come into this space of rest, this space of stillness that's deep within the core of our being. And it's a space that each of us shares. So even if you feel like nothing is happening, we're joining in this space together and supporting each other, holding this space for one another. And it doesn't get lost, even if you don't feel anything. It'll simply be here for you when you feel ready, when the time is right. And in our hearts, deep in our minds, let's just really, really connect with a sense of gratitude. Gratitude for the truth. Gratitude for who it is that we really are. And gratitude that we have a path before us that we can follow, that can guide us into remembering who it is that we really are. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives, and we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. Trusting that the Holy Spirit knows the way, we simply need to turn to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit chooses for God for us. And so our way home is guaranteed. And taking a nice mindful and deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Thank you everybody for joining me in that. So I said this already to the folks that are on Zoom with me. I just have some quick announcements. You've never heard me ask for donations and I'm probably never gonna say it again, but some of you asked. And if you're interested in donating to the cost of the Zoom calls or just in general, I'll share the links in the caption in the Facebook group. It's in the chat here on Zoom. And I also just wanted to mention that I have a workshop coming up with Kieran J. Gardner and Andreas Prohl in 1 week on Sunday during the day. I think it's 3 to 4:30 Eastern, I believe. You can find information. It's the present moment. And we're going to be spending some time really grounding in, really coming into silence, speaking from silence, and giving participants an opportunity to speak from that quiet space for themselves as well. It's a sliding scale program from $10 to $20. So it's just a small donation. And you can find that info on my events tab on my website. Let's move into our reading. So we are reading cameo number 4 this evening, an example of the shock effect. And this cameo, there's so many, again, good little bits in here that I am so excited to tease apart as we go through this. It's much shorter than last week, so that's good. We have less reading to do. And let's go ahead and dive in. So cameo 4, an example of the shock effect. And again, mind you, I just wanted to mention that as we're reading these cameos, sometimes some of the material at first is a little confusing, but there will be an explanation very shortly. So please just do hang tight if there's something that you're not sure about. There likely will come an explanation. So an example of the shock effect. Miracle Principle 20 came out of a colorful, an ultimately touching exchange between Jesus and Helen. First, he gives her a miracle principle that sounds like an impenetrable riddle. Jesus, miracles rest on flat feet. They have no arches. Bill will be better on this than you. Helen, she says, he'd better be. I don't get it at all. And I'm very suspicious of it too. Bill, did communication break down, or does this mean something? Helen's attitude, this is Robert Perry's commentary, is impatient and even dismissive. It may be that, as someone who prides herself on her intelligence, she doesn't like not being able to solve the riddle. Jesus then says, clue, it has something to do with, here I am, Lord. Bill knows. The idea is that I do not want to emphasize your special language too much. Some of them, the principles, have to be in Bill's language. Jesus just ignores Helen's dismissive attitude, going right ahead regardless. He has given a riddle. Now he gives a clue. So Robert Perry continues, "Here I am, Lord," is a prayer Jesus gave Bill the day before the dictation of the course began. I'm just pausing for a moment. We might remember, here I am, Lord. That was the first cameo that we read. He gave that to Bill as a meditation technique. The prayer was designed to help Bill be directly present to God rather than standing apart from him. In a similar manner, as we'll see, this principle is about miracles standing directly on eternity rather than above it, on the arch of time. Jesus has now said 3 times that this principle is geared to Bill. As we see in cameo 2, and in parentheses it says Jesus, but when you do see Bill, be sure you tell him how much he helped you through by giving you the right message. Jesus is always careful to include Bill and make sure he doesn't feel left out. So Helen goes on to write down, my own associations here are very bad. A Rorschach response of footprints to the top read on 2. Robert Perry explains that Helen is referring to card 2 in the Rorschach ink blot test, on which the top 2 shapes, which are red, can be interpreted as footprints, the heels being at the very top. Jesus, he says, no, it's all right. It's the arch of time. There isn't any, so it means, ... Helen then wrote 3 versions of this principle. She first wrote, miracles rest on eternity, not, ... Presumably, she had intended to finish that with the arch of time. Then she crossed everything out, but miracles, and continued with, so miracles do not rest on the arch of time, but on eternity. Then she crossed most of that out, leaving only miracles rest on eternity. The meaning is now clear. Miracles stand directly on the flat surface of eternity. They don't stand above it on the arch of time. Thus, rather than being separate from eternity, at the mercy of the laws of time, miracles are based directly on the law and order of eternity. This makes sense since their whole purpose is to bring in the laws of eternity to overturn the laws of time. Helen then says, I must say this is the hard way, and I'm sure this could have been done more directly. I don't see why I should get a message in a way that makes me miss the point and then have to go into a mental coma to get it. Helen really gives it to him here. She basically tells him that he's not doing his job right, informing him that he should just have said it plainly rather than clothing it in an exasperating riddle. The remark about going into a mental coma to get it is particularly withering, but as we'll see, it plays right into Jesus's hands. So Jesus, here's the answer. You've been doing that all along. You have not even bothered to look at the others, which are very clearly stated. I just thought I'd give you this one in a way you couldn't overlook it. It's an example of the shock effect, sometimes useful in teaching, and then crossed out. It says pupils whose attention wanders too much. That's crossed out. So I'm going to reread this for clarity with that crossed out piece just left out. It's an example of the shock effect, sometimes useful in teaching students who won't listen. It compels attention. So this is Robert Perry's commentary. Now he finally responds to Helen's criticism. And at last, we see the method behind his madness. He is still trying to get Helen to pay attention to the principles. He says that, rather than making her go into a mental coma to get it, he is trying to snap her out of the mental coma she's been in all along. He is not being merely opaque. He's employing a carefully chosen device for compelling the attention of a student who won't listen. I can so relate to that. This seems to stop Helen in her tracks, presumably because she is quite aware she hasn't been listening and can therefore grasp the inappropriateness of the teaching device Jesus has selected. And the device seems to be working. He, in fact, has her attention. And thus, this miracle principle, unlike the other ones, promises to be one she won't soon forget. Helen then briefly remarks, "So I got quite upset and snapped very unfairly at Jonathan, her husband Lewis." She called her husband Lewis Jonathan. Then it went on, ... But from this point on, the whole tone of the exchange changes. I just want to pause here for a moment because we're getting into sort of like the second segment of this story, of this cameo. So let's just do a brief recap. And if anybody wants to jump in and share, by all means, please do. With this first part of the cameo that we've just read, Jesus gives what seems like a riddle to Helen, and she's kind of pissed off about it. Why couldn't you just be clear and tell me that miracles rest directly on eternity? And Jesus basically says that he's giving it to her as a riddle because this is going to help her remember it. She's not, you know, maybe reread the other miracle principles, and now she can't overlook it because she's had to really pause and really think about it. And he did this to snap her out of the mental coma that she's been in all along. So I just thought that that was so funny and relatable because I just very much relate to that. I mean, how many times have any of us had the experience of reading the course and you read some sentences, you read some paragraphs, and you have no idea what you just read? And that even happens with just regular books, right? We just sort of space out, we lose that presence, we lose attention, and we're no longer present to the meaning behind the words. So this was a way to really have Helen slow down and think about this idea that miracles rest. Where is it? Miracles. I'm trying to look at the final thing that she had come to, that this principle was, I think it was just miracles rest directly on eternity, something like that. Yeah, here it is. Miracles rest on eternity. the rest of this cameo will explain that a little bit more. So we'll get into that some more. But I just thought it was really funny to just sort of see how Jesus is kind of helping her along with her focus and her paying attention, even though it initially she was frustrated and annoyed. So totally relatable to me. Before I keep reading, are there just any comments or questions so far? I'm just going to check the chat for a moment. And we're good.
Yeah, Corinne.
Yes.
I was noticing in the actual principle itself, it says miracles rest on the law and order of eternity, not the arch of time.
So more came.
So I don't know if there's more in this cameo. It's been a while since I've read it.
You know, I'm glad that you brought that up because I don't think this cameo addresses that is what the miracle principle ultimately says. So that's nice to hear that's, can you read that again, John?
Miracles rest on the law and order of eternity.
The law and
the arch of time. Yeah.
The law and order of eternity, not the arch of time. Fascinating. So yes, more must have come through at some point then. Thank you for that, John. Uh-huh. Awesome. Anybody else? I think I saw Steve's hand.
Hi.
Just wondering if it mentions both pupils and student in this cameo, the difference between those. Maybe can we explain that?
I think they mean the same thing. I think, where is that? That's on, okay, so pupils was crossed out and then it was replaced with students. I don't know why, but it's my understanding that pupils and students mean the same thing. So okay. We know that Helen, you know, was a professor. So perhaps that was a word she used. And then the second time it just came through as students, but I think they mean the same thing.
Okay, thanks.
That's my two cents.
Thank cool, thank you.
Anybody else? Did I see another hand? Looks like we're good. Okay, so let's keep reading. Okay, so from this bit about snapping her out of her mental coma, getting past this riddle, we just read that this stopped Helen in her tracks. Helen then briefly remarks, I'm just reading the very last part of the paragraph I just read. Helen then briefly remarks, "So I got quite upset and snapped very unfairly at Jonathan, her husband, Lewis. Then it went on, ... But from this point on, the whole tone of the exchange changes." So we're going to see a shift in Helen. So I'm going to read now what comes from Jesus next. So Jesus says, "And remember to thank Bill from me for his all-out support." The word consistent was crossed out. So his all-out support. "I need it because you won't listen to anything. But don't worry, the three of us will make it." We're nowhere near the final. By the way, this is an example of the point on cooperation. And then in brackets, it says, this is a miracle principle. Miracles are an industrial necessity. Industry depends on cooperation, and cooperation depends on miracles. Jesus continues, "And don't underestimate your cooperation either. You don't listen, and you would save yourself a lot of pain if you did. But you did get through Chip," and "through" was crossed out. "You did get Chip over his misinterpretations of Wally with very creditable integrity." You did get Chip over his misinterpretations of Wally with very creditable integrity. I think you know what I just said. I won't reread that again. So we're going to go into a lengthy explanation now about what that means with Chip and with Wally. But I think it's funny here, and I just have to highlight this again, how Jesus is just pretty straightforward saying you don't listen and that miracles depend on cooperation, that you would save yourself a lot of pain if you did listen. And how perfect is that for each one of us too, that if we listened, if we truly, truly listened and really dropped in and trusted what we heard, perhaps we would save ourselves a lot of pain. So the commentary continues. Jesus now switches to gratitude and reassurance. He thanks Bill for his support, which is much needed, and given Helen's resistance. And he assures them both that in spite of Helen's resistance, the three of us will make it. He then cites Bill's all-out support as an example of the miracle principle 19, miracles are an industrial necessity. Industry depends on cooperation, and cooperation depends on miracles. The implication is that Bill's support of this project, the writing of the course, is an act of cooperation with Jesus. Then his praise turns to Helen. And don't underestimate your cooperation either. Jesus then backs this up with evidence of Helen's cooperation with him. And the quote is, "You did get Chip over his misperceptions of Wally with very creditable integrity." This brief line bears some attention, especially since, because we can reasonably assume that Helen's cooperation, like Bill's, is an example of miracle principle 19, the implication is that Helen performed a miracle. The context, as we see in cameo 3, is that Helen can't stand Wally. We learned that last time. Helen can't stand Wally. Not only that, it's likely that she wants Bill to share her judgmental view of him, yet she thinks that Wally instead has Bill's unconscious backing. Into this stalemate comes another friend of Bill's, Chip, with his own uncharitable view of Wally. Surely this is the time for Helen to form an alliance so that together she and Chip can bring Bill over to their side. At the very least, it is time to privately relish Chip's negative perceptions of Wally and give these insidious seeds whatever small encouragement they need to survive and grow. But instead, Helen does the opposite. She helps Chip get over his misperceptions of Wally. This may have been more than Helen trying to do the right thing. It may have been a gesture of selfless love for Bill, since this might be the incident Jesus referred to earlier when he said, "You did make a maximal effort for Chip, and the only reason you did it was because you loved Bill." Either way, though, Helen has made a definite choice to stick to her principles rather than give in to her baser instincts. This is why Jesus says she acted with very creditable integrity. I want to just pause here. I'm guessing that yet again, we can all relate to this idea that we have a perception in some way, shape, or form, whether it's judging another person, judging a situation, judging a political party, and we find somebody who feels the same way, and we want to form an alliance with them. In this case, it's between all people, Chip and Wally and Bill. Helen doesn't like Wally, Chip doesn't like Wally, and Helen wants Chip to just maybe, you know, unconsciously, like the ego thing to do would be to form that alliance and try to get Bill over to their side. And yet what must have happened is that instead, she helped Chip change his perceptions of Wally. So rather than feed into those judgmental ego beliefs and perhaps ego voice in her mind, she helped Chip get over his misperceptions of Wally. And this is probably what that sentence that we read, I think last time, "You did make a maximal effort for Chip, and the only reason you did it was because you loved Bill." We weren't clear on what that meant before. Now we have a much better idea as to what that means. So I think that's probably a pretty relatable situation to all of us. And it makes me think, next time we find ourselves in such a situation where it's so tempting to try to collude on some issue where our judgment is involved, do we have willingness instead to step up to say something that, like, "Hey, you know what? Maybe we can be willing to see this differently." And she did that out of love for Bill. Before I keep reading, any comments or questions? Just want to check in since we have the flexibility tonight. It's not a super long cameo. Sounds like we're good. And just a reminder, actually, for folks on the phone, I know there's a bunch of you on the phone. We've got like 28 people here. Just a reminder, you can press *6 to unmute your line and *6 again to mute. So feel free at any point to chime in. Let's keep reading. Jesus's praise, being based on a clear-cut example, is now just as irrefutable as was his criticism that Helen is in a self-imposed mental coma. The effect on Helen is immediate. All her defenses crumble. So Helen writes, "So I said, suddenly, a little timid and very surprised, 'You mean you think I'm nice?' and burst into tears. And he said he must think so, really, because he keeps giving me everything. And he's not angry because I keep on rejecting him. But he is sorry because I suffer so much for no reason." This sentence is crossed out. It says he was really very nice about it. She crossed that out. "I told him I really do love him. But I have trouble about it. Though I did mean it for a little while anyway, before I got embarrassed. And he said he understood very well and would keep on trying. Bill, please don't let me down." And in parentheses, Helen writes, "This is very unexpected. I don't talk this way to men." All of Helen's armor has fallen away. The biting criticism has gone, and she is completely emotionally defenseless. This allows Jesus to tell her honestly how he feels about matters that lie at the heart of their relationship. He clearly thinks she's nice because he keeps giving her everything. He's not angry with her for rejecting him. Just sorry that she causes herself so much needless suffering. Then it is Helen's turn. She tells him she loves him in spite of her embarrassment. It is a very tender exchange, all the more so because it follows what appears to be a real breakdown of communication. Then Helen drops her armor with Bill. In her plea, "Please don't let me down," she is uncharacteristically exposing her real feelings. Earlier in her notes, she says, "Men are supposed to give to me, but this is not reversible." When it comes to relationships with men, she wants to be the one in control. But for the moment, she has dropped both her sword and shield with these two key men in her life, Jesus and Bill, and for once is completely open and undefended. And that, my friends, concludes cameo number 4, an example of the shock effect. So this is so beautiful because despite being told that she's in a mental coma, it can sound so harsh, Jesus really expresses his love to her and she receives it. She bursts into tears. This is where, you know, this feeling, it's not just a voice. It's a real relationship that she's developing with this voice. And it's emotional. It cracked her heart open. In reading a little bit of Helen's autobiography, she grew up in a very, what felt like a very sterile environment. Her father, I think, was, and her mother, just very, very emotionally unavailable, emotionally distant. It was her nanny. She even had a nanny that was emotionally distant. It was Ida Bell, her nanny, who then was her housekeeper later on, who introduced Helen to spirituality. That was like, I feel like the first real authentic relationship she had. So Helen's heart, we have to kind of understand, like she's not been like an emotionally open person, it seems, throughout much of her life. And here she is hearing this voice, feeling like this voice is saying that He thinks she's nice, and she bursts into tears, and she lets down that guard with Jesus and with Bill, and is just completely open and undefended. So that's just really beautiful. Andrea asks, at the end of the cameo, there's a footnote that says 16 absent from Felicity. So basically, the footnotes, when you see that, Absence from Felicity is a book that Ken Wapnick wrote that has more of this background information in it that we don't have documentation of necessarily. So referring to that book, that's just citing the book. That's where Robert Perry got that information from. Thank you for that. That's that citation. So this is, I feel, just a very moving, and like it says, tender exchange between Helen and Jesus. I also want to go back to how it speaks about miracles. Where did it go? Miracles rest on eternity, not on the arch of time. So when we, again, going back to this definition of miracles being expressions of love, as we express that love, as we receive that love, that interpersonal peace to miracles, how they are given and received, and as we receive them, as we give them, that's how we receive them. This brings us closer to eternity than anything, because that's, miracles rest on eternity. So that image of them resting on a flat surface, like flat feet, I have flat feet, so that is a meaningful parallel to me, rather than the arch of time, the fact that miracles rest right there on eternity, every time that we're expressing love, it's bringing us one step closer to the awareness of the eternal state that we've never left. I'm wondering what's coming up for you. If anybody has any questions or comments, I do have another bit that I want to share, but I want to just pause here. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Corinne. I'm just curious about this sentence. Earlier in her notes, she says, men are supposed to give to me, but this is not reversible.
She's not giving to them. They're supposed to give to me, but I'm not giving to them. That's what I think. That's how I interpret it.
That's surprising.
Right, right.
That she would have that attitude.
Right. Well, if you think about somebody who has maybe lots of defenses up and isn't a very emotional person, it becomes a little bit easier to understand, maybe like, yeah, you cater to me, but I'm not opening my guard. I'm not letting my guard down. I'm not opening my heart with you.
So she was really quite shut down.
That impression. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And again, if you read a little bit about her upbringing, gosh, I can't imagine. I would not have done well in her household. No. Because of how just sterile, that's the best word that I can come up with. It just felt very, no speaking about emotions or anything like that. Yeah, thank you, Paula.
Thank you.
Anybody else have anything that's coming up for you?
Corinne?
Yes.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm really struck by, there's this theme to me in this cameo that's so beautiful about the way he's communicating with so much awareness of the person who's receiving the message. It's so specific to Helen, and it's interesting how she gets irritated at some point or whatever that emotion is, and it reminds me of sometimes when I'm reading the course and I'll just have this running commentary where I'll just say to him, couldn't you have just said that in, five words? You know what I mean? Like, I'll just say that, like, couldn't you have just, said that in, a couple of words? I don't know. It's just really beautiful to see like how conscious these decisions are. And it reminds me also of his use of iambic pentameter, because I'm remembering that that was also, I think that one of the reasons that he used that was in order to make us slow down and really absorb what's being said so that we don't, you know, we don't rush over it. So actually someone's at the door. So I'm
okay. Thank you, Uma. Thank you. That was absolutely beautiful. And I know you probably can't hear me because you have to answer the door, but I just am really, I totally agree with you that iambic pentameter absolutely slows us down. And just to continue, even though I don't think Uma can hear me now, just how personalized this journey is, that it's absolutely not, although we're learning, what's the line? It's the universal curriculum, only the time you take it is voluntary. We're learning the same curriculum, but the curriculum is highly individualized. That's what the course says, that it's highly individualized. So we're going to have that very, very personal, tailored to us, tailored to our specific situation, that the Holy Spirit, Jesus, meets us where we are. So it is so personal. So Uma, thank you. I love what you shared. I really do. It's really touching. And, you know, even parts of the course that aren't in iambic pentameter, that really forces us to slow it down too. Even how the course often says like, and it, and that, and it's like, wait, what is it? What is that? What is that referring to? You have to really, really slow it down, because if the course just said, turn to the Holy Spirit, release everything, we'd be like, okay, sure. On to the next book. Instead, it's like a treasure hunt. What does this thing say? Thank you. Oh, Kim said, Jesus often uses the most damaged of us. We're all called. And so, yeah, whoever is willing to listen, and he's there for all of us, no matter how much pain or suffering or conflict there may be. Thank you for that comment. I do have another question that I want to answer, but I just want to pause for a moment longer and see if anybody wants to say anything based on our discussion so far.
I have a question, Corinne.
I thought you were, John, I was just going to say, John, I think you're on mute and I think you might be trying to say something, but I wasn't sure.
I'm just curious, where did the law and order of eternity come in that?
That I don't know. I don't have that background information. Robert Perry might know that.
Actually, well, I just see the shock effect on that.
Yep, I don't know about that bit and how that came in, but that's a good question.
Thanks, Adam.
I want to sort of switch gears for a moment here. And we finished the cameo, so we can talk about anything. We can talk about the cameo or if anybody else has any other general questions. There was a question that came in before we started recording that I'd love to speak to and if anybody wants to add. And it was just the topic about asking, like asking for guidance, asking for help. The simplest of all prayers, help. And how we still hang on to what we think we don't want. So we think we don't want this painful thing. We think we don't want anxiety. We think we don't want, I don't want depression. I don't want anxiety. I don't want coronavirus. I don't want a certain president. You know, we think we have these things that we don't want, and yet they are still seemingly around. And so what is it about asking and things being sticky, things not shifting? And that's what I'm kind of hearing, is that like we're asking for help and nothing changes. And I believe that that's sort of the spirit maybe of the question. Part of this to me is having to get really clear on looking at our unwillingness to heal. There's a quote, I have it on a bulletin board behind me. I don't want to disappear into the photo, so I'll just try to share it from memory. But it says, out of your recognition of your unwillingness, his perfect willingness is given you. And then it goes on to say, I'm so happy I remember this. Call upon him, for heaven is at his call. Let him call on heaven for you. So to dissect that quote a little bit, we are asked to just be a tiny bit little willing, but there's part of us that's absolutely terrified of losing what we think we know. There's part of Corinne, there's part of me that's afraid of losing Corinne. There's part of me that feels like, what if I do hand it all over? Am I going to be asked to sacrifice something? Am I going to lose something? What it boils down to is that I'm ultimately afraid of not being a body. And so there's part of me that wants to hang on to it. And that's the part that's unwilling. That's the part that's unwilling to heal. And this isn't a new thing. This isn't a new idea. There's, you know, Freud had the term, the death instinct. We've heard the term self-sabotage, resistance. And so what's been helpful to me with that which seems to hang on that we think we don't want is to pause and say, okay, how might there be something positive playing out here? Like, what is a positive payoff to this problem still being in place? What is the positive payoff to me being so super anxious? And ultimately, that positive payoff to any behavior, any issue that we don't want, is that we get to keep being a body. I get to keep playing this game of Corinne. That's the ultimate bottom line thing for me, is that there's part of me that doesn't want to let it go because I get to keep playing this game of Corinne because I'm still afraid I'm going to lose something. So when I shared that quote about unwillingness, where it says, call upon him, for heaven is at his call. Let him call on heaven for you. Again, our little piece is to turn to spirit. Spirit chooses for God for us because we don't know how. And the first part of that quote, out of our recognition of our unwillingness, his perfect willingness is given us. So our willingness, this is the other part to the quote, our willingness need not be perfect. Our willingness need not be complete. It only needs to be a little bit. Now, maybe it feels like, well, I'm being just a little bit willing, but I still have this problem. And again, it's been my practice to look at my unwillingness, to hand that unwillingness over. So I'm trying to look at the ego from a different angle, how it's hanging on. And the other piece too, for me with asking, is that oftentimes I might have my mind made up already. And I don't know if this is part of the question too, is if I have my mind made up of what it is that I want, I'm not really asking anymore. I'm asking within parameters that I've set. And so I'm really not giving spirit any room to help things perhaps unfold in a way that I couldn't have conceived of before. So it's also a good practice, I think, to get really clear when we're asking, what is it that we want? And if we can be honest, well, I really want this to happen. I really want that anxiety to go away. I want this financial problem to go away. If we can get clear on what we want to happen, and can release that, then it's kind of like we're really emptying ourselves to listen better. So I'm not sure if that fully answered. There's so many ways to go with this question, and I'm not sure if that cut it or not. If anybody wants to ask any follow-ups in the chat, please feel free to post. But those are just a few thoughts that came with that excellent question. I feel like we all asking is part of what it means to learn the course. We're all learning this. And I know I still, like Bill, if I ask, I tune out very quickly. My mind is like a very, very busy monkey. And so that prayer, here I am, Lord, that Jesus gave to Bill to practice just being, that's been a helpful tool for me to use also. So thank you for that question. And if there's any follow-up, feel free to either come off mute, post it in the chat. If anybody wants to even add their experience with asking, with issues not going away, I will share. Just from stepping back, I can think of even some of you on the call right now who have been in tough situations before that have felt like they are unmovable, and you've kept at this work and things have shifted. Big, big breaths of fresh air have eventually come about, and there's been some big, big breakthroughs for people. And so I just stand in a place of confidence that this pathway works. It works. It might not seem like it. Doubt might come up from time to time, but it works. Doubt is part of the journey. Yeah.
Thank you, Corinne. That was great.
Oh, good. I'm glad that was helpful. I'm glad that was helpful. Yeah. Thank you. That prayer, let me see if I can look it up while we're chatting. So actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go, if you're in the Facebook group, I'll post that quote under this video in the caption. If you're not in the Facebook group, just send me an email and I'll send it to you that way. That way I can look it up later. So I probably won't be able to find it very easily. I'm grateful for you too, Kim. Anybody else feel moved to share or ask a question?
Corinne, hi, yes. It's Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
So Corinne, one thing that I've always noticed is that when something's not shifting, it's always almost when personality is, because I already have an idea of how I think I want it to go instead of the way that could maybe not even ever cross my mind. Do you have a prayer for that? Like even off the top of your head, just from spirit, like, hey, I'm being a big knucklehead. can you, or I, you know, cause I'll say, I know that I'm holding on to something here. There's fear here. That's the only reason we hold on to it. Help me. But if you have something else, that would be even more, like, you know.
That's a great question, Nikki. So your question is just any specific course quotes or prayers about, like, you know, you see how you want it to go and just like help with letting go, right?
Yeah. Or even if something comes through you through spirit, you know, like, hey, I'm a type A. Can you help me? Is there an extra type A? You know.
I relate to that. I definitely have that type A part of my personality for sure. Let me drop in with that. The words, the only words that are coming to mind to me at the moment are just, again, that big willingness. I know we said that we only need a little tiny bit of willingness, and that's true. But there's also a point that I know I've touched and many of us have touched of, like, I am willing. Like, I am so willing. This willingness is big. It's huge. And so even, again, just saying, Holy Spirit, these are my expectations. This is how I want it to go. And I am still going to give you the steering wheel of my ship. Like, you take over, because I will just make a mess of it. So somebody, Andrea said, there's always, Holy Spirit, I need a miracle. That's beautiful, Andrea. Thank you. That's absolutely. Wendy just said the knucklehead prayer. I love it, Nikki. That's really funny. The knucklehead prayer. So yeah, I mean, you could even just say that to spirit. You know, your words are what are going to be the most meaningful and the most profound. I would say, here's what I have for you. Ask Holy Spirit, what should I say to you? You know, what are some words that can, what's my knucklehead prayer? And get quiet and see what comes in. I would even suggest getting a piece of paper and a pen and just writing from spirit, writing, you know, you ask Holy Spirit the question, what is a prayer? What are some helpful words that you can give me when I'm in this situation of how I want it to go? And see what comes through you, because that is going to be the most meaningful to you over anything that I could share. Of course, there's delicious quotes all throughout the book. Lori said, it's okay, Holy Spirit, if ... like blank. I like that. So it's okay, Holy Spirit, if, I'm wondering how we might fill that in that blank. It's okay, Holy Spirit, if you take over. It's okay, Holy Spirit, if, even cutting yourself some slack. Holy Spirit, I'm seeing that I'm doing this pattern right now. I accept myself anyway. And here you go. Help me do it differently. one of the pieces that I feel like we can slip into is strain, where we feel like we get frustrated with ourselves and we can get mad at the ego. And all that is ever doing is feeding the ego. When we get frustrated with ourselves, frustrated with the ego, that feeds it. So instead, kindness, love is the antidote. So being gentle with ourselves instead. John, the saying that I said earlier from my bulletin board, I will copy and paste that in our Facebook group in the caption of this video. And if anybody wants that quote who's not in Facebook, just email me and I will send it right back to you. I just don't want to take the time now to find it. Kim suggested maybe even I accept that I can't accept blank right now. I love that. I'm going to say that again. I accept that I can't accept blank right now. Kim, that's beautiful. Love that. Andrea, thank you for reminding us of this. So Paula has quoted this. I've quoted this too. So this is a Nook Sanchez prayer. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using this situation or this person to attack myself and to separate from your love as my holy self. That's that prayer. And I'm happy to put that in the caption, the comments of this video on the Facebook group too. That's a super powerful prayer from Nook Sanchez as well. Help me, Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using blank to attack myself and to separate from your love. So we're always unknowingly using things to attack ourselves and to separate ourselves from God, to separate ourselves from our brothers and sisters. So Holy Spirit, forgive us. Yes, which is obviously already done. Paula.
I had an experience today, just talking about this. I've been doing this plein air painting, and a lot of times I just go out on my deck and I set up a still life and paint. And the neighbors put up a basketball hoop, and the kids are always out in the yard screaming. And this is something that just drove me crazy earlier in the summer. And I really, really took this to the Holy Spirit, because it was just, I want to be able to do what I want to do. Well, at any rate, you know, sometimes we just don't, maybe we're not patient enough with the Holy Spirit. But today, this beautiful day, I set up out in the deck, I was doing a color study, and the neighbors had a huge birthday party for the kids in the backyard, and they were playing basketball, I felt such a shift about it. I was delighted by the whole thing. And it didn't dawn on me at first. That's the Holy Spirit right there. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I think we just want instant results. And sometimes it just takes a little bit of time, because honestly, earlier in the summer, I would have had a holy fit about the experience. And today it was just delightful. It was absolutely delightful.
And that's beautiful, Paula, because let's use this as an example. Your prayer could have been, make those people be quiet. Like, you would have had very specific expectations for how a miracle would look. You know, if things worked out, it was going to be your way, and they were going to move, or they're going to be really quiet or whatever. But instead, here they were having a party and you have the total shift about it.
Yeah.
You have the total shift about it. That's beautiful.
Yeah. It was a nice experience once I realized what was actually going on there.
I have a new neighbor, not directly nearby. It's sort of like back and diagonal, who's riding his dirt bike around his backyard over and over and over. So I want some of that, what you just shared. I need a shift.
Right. We talked about this back when I was having the problem with the basketball court. So yeah, just have patience.
I'm willing. My shift is not coming yet.
It is that willingness. Because that's really, that's kind of what I decided. Like, whatever's going to happen here is going to happen, you know, and just Holy Spirit, just help me cope.
Yeah. Deidre just offered us a prayer. She says, I like to use, thank you for helping me see blank with the eyes of love. Thank you for helping me see my neighbor who's riding his dirt bike around in circles for hours with the eyes of love. Or whatever that is. That's beautiful, Deidre. Thank you. Because it really is that shift comes from within. And sometimes maybe circumstances shift. Maybe sometimes they don't appear to shift. But we know that all healing happens at the level of the mind. And of course, this being a dream, things can shift in form as well. Miracles collapse time. They collapse matter. They're really cool. And they rest on eternity. As we learn tonight, they bring us very close to eternity. So that shift with Paula's example, with her neighbor, Paula's shift brought her and them closer to eternity, because miracles have a healing effect on the other individual too. It's not just for you, not just for us. Any final comments before we go for the night? I didn't mention this early, but oh my gosh, everybody, with the love lens, the conversations on A Course in Miracles and racism, that starts live on Tuesday. Registration closes tomorrow. We expected like 100 or 200 people. We're up to 800 now. So it's really hitting home with a lot of people, which is so super exciting. And I did want to say too, if anybody didn't feel moved to register, but you might be interested down the road, it is my intention, and I'm saying this out loud thinking like, what if something changes? But this is probably going to happen. We are planning ultimately to share the videos just publicly, and I want to make them into podcasts. So they would be, you know, you could listen to the audio version too. So if you didn't register for any reason, that should still be coming down the road after the program's over, but it's just amazing with the response with the people who have been joining in. So that's that. I love you all. I will post those two quotes, the Nook prayer and the other prayer that I mentioned, in the comments on the Facebook video in our group. And if you want them and aren't on Facebook, just email me. I'll get them to you. I love you all. Thank you again for joining me. And I will see you next week. Have a great one, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Carla.
Bye.
Love you.
I love you too.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.